And it's amazing how God provides for us. And even though we're a small group, God has just been marvelous in the way that He moves on people. And so both here and others outside of our group who support us. So will the ushers come as we prepare to receive our offering? And Father, I just thank You for the wonderful benefits we get from You. We want to keep You in the right place in our lives so that we continue to honor You and accomplish Your purpose. We commit these offerings to You in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're receiving the offering, I just want to mention this. I would have liked to have got this up on the screen, but I didn't get it done. But anyway, it says, "Be good to people for no reason," and Charlie Brown on there. So I just, somebody posted that, and I forget who it was, and it just was, struck me as a great thing to keep in mind as we think about these things. Also, we're suspending for the summer our Saturday meetings in the evening, so that other people have other activities going on. So we'll come back in September, and if you have a birthday in one of those months, we like to celebrate the birthday. Come back in September, and we'll celebrate you. So praise God. Is there something that needs to be mentioned? Oh, yeah. Well, what are you doing sitting back there? Come right on up.
Yeah, put it on your calendars. I know we're very few, but on the 12th of July, we're going to go to John and Dee's house to fix their deck. Their deck is rotted out. Except, I mean, the stairs are fine, and the band board, the ledger board, and the front board is fine. So, but we have to replace all the joists and decking boards, which isn't that much. But I encourage you men that it's in Lake of the Woods. We want to do that for them. They're going to pay for the material, and they, you know, he's in really bad shape, and she doesn't do him well either, and it's hard on them. And I told him, you know, we're going to do it as a love offering to fix the deck for him, so we need prayer for that, because it's probably going to be pretty hot out, but we want to get started, you know, early in the morning. And so if the Lord's speaking to you, you know, come on down. We want to be able to show something to one of our brothers and sisters that you don't see anymore, because any little thing can cause them to get worse. So just like Doreen had long ago, she couldn't come out because if she did and caught something when she was at her worst, it would make it even worse. And that's the same way with them. And so I said if they wanted to donate something to the church, it's fine, but we're not charging them anything for it. We want to do this, and so I encourage you the 12th of July. And then if any of you ladies would like to go over and pray with them, you know, and just meet them and pray with them, they would love that. Because they always have questions because they're not out. Because the other day I was there just asking them something. I was there for an hour because they kept asking biblical questions, which is fine. But anyway, they need the fellowship. So if you can't work on a deck, maybe you can go over and just say hi and pray with them. So with that, back to the pastor.
Any other announcements? All right. Well, then let's continue with the preaching, and the kids can go to their part. All right. I'm excited about the message this morning, and it's been interesting for me to be in the book of Timothy. Not that it's new, because it's been very meaningful to me and helping me develop my ministry and to seek the Lord the way He wants me to. And it's an important scripture for all of us, regardless of whether where we are in our walk with Him. In our last message, we focused on the marvelous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which Paul spoke about when he was writing this, and how He is equipping us to fight the good fight of faith. Today, we're going to focus on how to carry this out in our lives, because that's the next part that he talks about. So in helping Timothy to accomplish this, Paul gives him instructions about how to do this. And so I have entitled the message, as you can see on the screen, A Living a Godly Life. So let's read our text scripture, beginning in second chapter, verse 1 of 1 Timothy. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. And I have been chosen as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles this message about faith and truth. I'm not exaggerating, just telling the truth. In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. And I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. Women should learn quietly and submissively. I do not let women teach men or have authority over them. Let them listen quietly, for God made Adam first, and afterward he made Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan, the woman was deceived, and sin was the result. But women will be saved through childbearing, assuming they continue to live in faith, love, holiness, and self-control. That's 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 15. Now I realize that can be a challenging scripture, and we're going to talk about it. Let's try to just really seek the Holy Spirit here to guide us in what He is trying to teach us with this. I believe this was given to Paul by the Holy Spirit, but it is challenging, and especially for our time. We certainly need to be seeking the Lord's guidance in these things so that we understand them properly and apply them properly. So here is where I begin next. Supplications, prayers, and intercession for all people. This is the first and great instruction that Paul gives Timothy, but it is good for all time. This passage brings to my mind what Paul said to the Roman church about how to think about our leaders when we're praying for them, and of course it is especially, I think, pertinent during our time, but it is for all time. There are some difficult things that are happening in our world, as we know. But here is how we should view these things. And this is what Paul said. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes, too, for the same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. They're serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. First seven verses of Romans chapter 13. And another challenging passage, especially when we think about countries that persecute Christians and kill them, torturing them to death sometimes. This is a very hard passage to relate to. But the reality is that when we're submitting to God and doing what God wants us to do, then we're going to pursue what He wants us to do, even in those circumstances. And God will deal with the evil people that are doing the things that they're doing. But certainly in our country, I mean, there's not everything is right, but in our country, certainly things are better than they are in a lot of other places, and so that's why it is important for us to do this. And, of course, as he is saying here, it is a witness for the gospel. And so as we seek this and try to do what we need to do, Peter also gives us some instructions that helps us in this matter when he says this, "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about keeping his promises, as some people think. No, he has been patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to perish, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be found to deserve judgment." That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. So, sin deserves God's punishment and judgment, but he's also gracious and loving to those who accept his grace. And so he extends that to us, not only now, but for our eternal destiny. God doesn't want to punish anyone. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But of course, if they don't accept, as Craig shared with us earlier, if they don't accept graciously his love, then he has to do that because they have to be removed from him. One of my favorite novels was by C.S. Lewis, in which he pictures this as a guy walking away and getting lonelier and lonelier out. I mean, it was interesting, but the fact of the matter is that if we don't want God, it'll be the worst thing for us. And so that's why it's so important that we seek him so that we have the blessings that he wants to give us. And then God has given us the opportunity to be part of the mission for helping people to come to know his grace. That's why Paul says to pray for everyone. And that is not always easy because our nature is not to want to pray for some because of what they do to us. That's just the way we react, unfortunately. It's a natural reaction that comes. But it is so important that we understand when we are receiving God's grace how we need to be involved as his ambassador to carry out the mission that he wants to give to the world. And I know I've shared this scripture a number of times, but it's one of my favorite on this subject. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he said this, "Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we're in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this ministry of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. Now, that was a little lengthy, but I think it really makes a great point, doesn't it? It helps us see what a marvelous God we have and what a wonderful mission that He has given us. And it is all because of His wonderful love. That is what will help keep us focused in the way we should on the mission that He has given us, no matter what is coming our way. And it can be difficult, as we all know, and we witness in other people. It can really be a difficult situation. But God is wanting to work His will out in us in all things. And that reminds me of this psalm that I think brings this out so well. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record Yahweh has cleansed of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, Your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to You and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to Yahweh, and You forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to You while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. Yahweh says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust Yahweh. So rejoice in Yahweh and be glad, all you who obey Him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 11. And that was written by David. And so what a transition he experienced. And as we know, David, of course, did some bad things. Even though God would say later, he's a man after my own heart, this is why. And we can be in the same position if we maintain that attitude. So, like Paul, too, he experienced many hardships, but he is still praising God for the blessing of being appointed in the position that he's in, and God has given him the mission to go to the Gentiles. He fully understands all that God has done through Jesus, and he is so grateful for God's grace to him. So this is why he is telling people to pray for all people everywhere, so they too can come to know the wonderful salvation that God wants to give and not experience His horrible judgment because of their sin. So, that brings me to this next point now, where we get into the more difficult place, I suppose, of this scripture, but the instructions that He gives for men and women. Yes, this next section is difficult and also becomes very divisive, unfortunately, in the church. But Paul is trying to get people to want to live the way they should as he designed them, not the way we want to, as though we think we have the right to our own decisions. And that's the problem we get into. First thing Paul says is he wants men everywhere to lift up holy hands and to do so without anger or quarreling or controversy. Well, I think it could be that men could include women in this, of course. But the problem, of course, is that men need to understand they need to submit to God just like the women are expected to submit to God. And if they do, then they will fulfill their role properly, and then it will inspire others to follow in the same example. Well, the Psalms speaks about this to some extent. I found a couple of verses I wanted to share with you. I pray to You, O Yahweh, my rock, do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if You are silent, I might as well give up and die. Listen to my prayer for mercy as I cry out to You for help, as I lift my hands toward Your holy sanctuary. Psalm 28, 1 and 2. And then there's one more, talks about lifting hands. O Yahweh, I'm calling to You. Please hurry, listen when I cry to You for help. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an evening offering. Psalm 141, 1 through 2. Well, the fact of lifting our hands is part of the process, but is not the key. It simply demonstrates the attitude of the heart. We are to be submitting to God, and when we lift our hands that way, that is what we are doing. And so God is seeking us and wants us to seek Him and to give our full devotion to Him so that we will be seeking His holiness in our lives. And holiness means being set apart for His purpose. We're never going to achieve the full righteousness. That's understandable. But we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And as we live in His grace, then we will carry out what He wants us to do. But, you know, unfortunately, too often, more so than the women, men don't lead by example, which is what is important. That's what he's saying to the women. Well, it's also just as true for the men. They need to be leading by example. And that is why Paul says what he says here. And of course, he gives more instructions later in this letter about that. It's kind of brief here, what he has to say as he leads into the next part. But when he moves on to the instructions for women, the first point that he makes is not to be focused first on the external, but to be focused on the internal. That's the key. And of course, it sometimes seems like maybe that's more of a problem for women than it is for men. Not as far as pride being a problem. Men have just much problem with pride. It's just in different ways. But this is the key that he is telling Timothy. God is interested in character, and he wants that to be lived out so that it will count for eternity. And by the way, I want to add here, I don't think Paul is forbidding women to fix their hair or to wear jewelry. I grew up in a church that was the big deal, you know. Funny thing was, is I had a aunt who was my mother's sister who worked in a beauty salon. She owned it. And yet she was part of this church, and it was almost like a contradiction. The reality is that God is interested in the heart. And so, unfortunately, because of this scripture, often it has caused division in the church. That's what happened. We were growing up, you know. I've said this before. We thought we were the only Christians or in the area, you know, because if people didn't think like us, they couldn't be a Christian. And so it was so divisive and can actually become destructive. And unfortunately, many of the kids that I grew up with in that fellowship turned away from God and went out and just lived in the world. And I don't know what became of them because we lost contact, but it certainly wasn't good at that time. You see, what God wants is for man and woman to understand their role as He has given it to them and to pursue that so that we are submitting to God and allowing Him to guide us in the kind of person He wants us to be. And so it's not right for a man to think that he's to dictate to his wife what she needs to do any more than it is for the wife to rebel against the man. The fact of the matter is, as Peter gives us this instruction about the woman in this regard, he makes it clear that the way we win people to Christ is to follow His example. And what did Jesus do? He submitted too and gave up His life for us. Listen to what Peter said. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Even if some refuse to obey the gospel, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. 1 Peter 3:1-6. But Peter didn't leave it there. He went on to say this to the men. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She is the weaker partner, but she is also your equal partner in God's gracious gift of new life for us. And the weakness is not that something is, you know, wrong with her character, but that she is in the weaker position as God has designed it to be. And when the two are working together as the team that they should be, then they will fulfill God's purpose of what he wants to accomplish in their lives. He goes on to say to the man, treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. 1 Peter 3:7-9. So this is the teaching, actually, that Peter is giving so that men and women will function as God has called them to function, so they will fulfill his purpose in their life, which is what we want to do. We want to seek God to fulfill his purpose. And when we do that, then what we are doing in this world will count for eternity, and we will, in the meantime, become a much better person. When Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, he said this about some of the things that we need to do as men and women. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And furthermore, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, that verse is often ignored before we get to the rest of it. But the reality is that when we're doing that, then we're accomplishing God's purpose in this world, whether the people respond properly or not. That's not our problem. Anyway, he goes on, for wives, this means to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. For he is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault in the same way husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Genesis 2:24 is that quote. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Ephesians 5:15-33. Now, the key for us in all of this is to be focused on what Jesus wants us to do. You know, I found out along the way, not too far into my marriage, about 5 years, I guess, always remember that pivotal point, I couldn't control my wife. She's smaller than I am, but she has a mind of her own. And we were kind of at a crossroads at that point. And God really began to work on me. And I've shared this before, but that I delivered the newspapers for the Washington Post at that time. So I'm out there early in the morning riding along. And the Spirit is talking to me. And he says, maybe what you need to do is focus on yourself. Because that's the only one you can really change. And that's the reality that we need to come to. That's the goal. Is not for us to be trying to control others, but to try to do what God wants us to do. And so when we do that, then Jesus is able to accomplish his purpose in us, and he might be able to accomplish his purpose in others. And when we understand that, it makes a major difference in our lives. And then the church will be the example of what it should be, and we will be winning others to Christ. And the reality is not everybody gets married. So each one has to learn how they're going to conduct themselves, period, and following what Jesus wants them to do. When we do that, then the impression that we will make will be the impression of Jesus as he has impressed us. And so then we will function the way God wants us to function, the ministry that he has given us. Well, there's so much more that could be said about these scriptures here in Timothy, but I'm going to leave it there. Simply let us seek to function in the role God has given us for our individual ministries. That's the key. When we do this, then we will be serving him the way we should, and he will bless us and give us the opportunities that will count for eternity to be able to carry out the mission that he has given us. And that's the most important thing we can be focused on. Always remember, we are his ambassadors to carry out his mission. Thank you, and Craig, you can come and close us here.